This is a little bit of something that I was emailed in the week by a colleague. It's nothing to do with my message at all. It's just kind of a little interlude while we all get settled down. It had some pictures in it, which didn't actually copy over very well, but it doesn't matter. I mean, this is what circulated work this week. It says, I am thankful for the wife who says it's hot dogs tonight because she's home with me and not out with someone else. I'm thankful for the husband who's on the sofa being a couch potato because he's home with me and not out in the bar. I'm thankful for the teenager who is complaining about doing the dishes because it means she's at home and not on the streets. I'm thankful for the mess to clean after a party because it means I have been surrounded by friends. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. I'm thankful for my shadow that watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. I'm thankful for the lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about the government because it means we have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for the parking spot I find at the far end of the car park because it means I'm capable of walking and have been blessed with transportation. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. I'm thankful for the lady behind me in church who sings off-key because it means I can hear. I'm thankful for the pile of laundry and ironing because it means I have clothes to wear. I'm thankful for weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I've been capable of working hard. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off early in the morning hours because it means I'm alive. Live well, laugh often, and love with all your heart. There you go, circulated work this week. A little interlude. It's nice that people want to bless each other in a situation. A couple of weeks ago, or whenever it was, 3 weeks ago, I had some triangles up. So I was going to call this message triangles because we're going to have a few more triangles today in a different way. I'm just going to refresh you on what I was looking at before because I was talking on faith before and drew some triangles to show how faith becomes central to a lot of the things that go on in our lives, in our spiritual lives, and how we're dependent upon faith and how we need to find that as a central point of our lives. And I don't want to go over the whole message again because I wouldn't have time for that, but I just bring up the diagram showing that in each of those triangles there was the word faith and righteousness, there was love, faith and hope, there was faith, peace and righteousness, there was faith, hope and grace, and that how all of those things, faith was very central, and we can't do anything in the kingdom of God without faith. And it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 5. Now I want to move on to some triangles illustrating some different things, because we're still being encouraged with the verse that's up there to love one another more and more, and then that love may overflow and be shared with those around us. And I'm very conscious that it's nice to use those kind of words, and it's good, but how do we actually do it? What are we going to do that actually achieves that? How are we going to be the kind of people that enable that love to flow? And being in faith was one part of that. And today I just want to look a little bit how relationships work, but also then start to begin to talk about trust. And I'm very, very blessed that if you flipped over your newsflash and had a look already at what Caroline's put on us thought for the week, it's about trust. And it's really, really encouraging, you know, when you pray and you get something from the Lord and then you find somebody else has got the same thing from the Lord at the same time. And some of Kevin's songs will also be relevant later as we go on. And you say, well, Lord, you're saying something to us. Here's another little triangle. Here's a triangle of relationship. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And here's a verse from John's Gospel where Jesus is praying near the end of his ministry. And he prays that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So that's where we're moving slightly to the one anothering, to the loving others, that actually as we are one in God, as he is one, then the world will know. And this is the best example we have of love and relationship. When we want to build loving relationships with others, this is the place we need to look to see how it works. And we see Jesus going off, even as we did in the beginning of the reading today, he went off to pray, to spend time with his Father. There's unity in the Godhead, this mutual submission in the Godhead, this self-sacrifice, this perfect love, this faithfulness, this trust, and this spending time together. And the more and more you look at Jesus' life and the Father and how they relate together, the more we can see how our relationship should work. And we could look at another triangle. Didn't look like it changed much, but it did. It's Father God, me, and others. Jesus answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Loving people is a really risky business, and loving people is kind of along this bottom line here, me and others, it's got there. Because when we expose ourselves to love, real love, we open ourselves to hurt. We open ourselves to disappointment. We open ourselves to rejection because we're really good at messing up. We are really good at messing up. I am. We all are. We mess up at times. And when we're in relationships, when we mess up, we can hurt people around us. Or somebody around us messes up and we feel hurt by it. And the line along the bottom that is there trying to join us up fractures and breaks, and relationships break up, and we know that all the time in the world and around us, that relationships fracture and break because they're constantly on that one plane of what's around us in the world, and we judge our relationships and how we work on that basis alone. But we're not meant to live in relationships that are just two-dimensional. The cinema's gone mad on 3D, you know. And in the kingdom of God, we need to be in 3D relationships, not wearing funny glasses and sitting at the back of the cinema, but adding the relationship that cements all relationships and makes relationships work. And then the diagram, putting God, Father God, at the top of all the relationships that we have. So whether it's in a family relationship, a marriage relationship, a friendship relationship, or a relationship with others, we put Father God at the top and the relationship starts to flow around and around the triangle. Too often we don't get into that dimension of relationship. And we exclude God from relationships. We exclude God from our lives. And relationships break and we get hurt. And he wants us to be strong in those relationships. Here's another one. Father God, the church, and others. And this is written in Ephesians. Paul writes, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Wow. Wow. And here we see God the Father, the church, and not just the rest of the world, but actually the heavens would know because of the love of God that is in the church. It impacts not just on the earth, but in the heavenly places. And of course, that's how we begin to expand our love to others and to the world. By actually being a body in the church, loving one another under God, loving God first and then loving each other, not just gritting our teeth and trying to love each other, but loving God first and loving each other. Jesus says in John 13:35, by all this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. There's lots in Ephesians and Colossians, which I haven't got time to read, about Jesus being the head of the church. And we are one body. We are united in the church because we are in Christ. We're under God. And we won't stand any chance of sharing our love out to the world unless we are able to live in community within the church, in Christ and under God. It's really important that he is, and in all of those diagrams, he is always at the top, at the pinnacle. Next diagram, drawn a little differently. It says, the glory which, this is Jesus again in John 17, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that's the church, the believers, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. See, if we stay in relationships without including the Lord, and we're on that bottom line, and things fracture and break, just things break down, and then we have to work at putting them back together. But if we're in a relationship with God, even when things fracture at the bottom, if we keep our relationship with God, and if that line along the bottom gets broken, we can still impact the other in the relationship, because we can pray to the Lord to show his love, to show his forgiveness, to show his mercy, to show his grace. And the love goes around the other root of the triangle, if you like. And we can pray that others in broken relationships will be drawn towards the Lord. We can pray that Levi will be drawn towards the Lord. We can pray that people who've hurt us can be drawn towards the Lord. And as we concentrate and actually we focus our lives on the Lord and we strengthen our relationship with God, we will find in our hearts we will want to forgive, in our hearts we will want to release the blessing. We'll pray and the Lord will do it. And we move up the sides of that triangle. And in moving closer to the Lord, we move closer to each other. Until we're what? What Jesus prayed. That we would be one as he is one. I in them, you in me, and we just merge into one at the top. And the broken and pain of relationships is healed. It's to what we were singing a moment ago, wasn't it? All the stuff that's broken will be healed. It will be healed. It's not might be, perhaps it will be. And we can believe that where relationships break down, if we keep our relationship with Father God going, we can let the love flow around that triangle, around that thing, and he will draw the hurt party, the broken party, the whatever, closer to him, and he will do the work that will bring us closer together. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Jesus in the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Love, living in trust that he will do what he says he will do. And that's where I want to come into my messages in talking about trust. But I want to put it in that context of understanding if we want to love one another, if we want to actually get closer together, we've got to get closer to God. And we're only going to get closer to God if we actually trust him and believe he is who he says he is and he will do what he says he will do. I know I've been struggling in the last week or two, you know, with the world getting into my head. You know, when you get a lot of pain, and others know this, and you get really tired and you get fed up, it's easy that stuff gets into your head. And we think, oh, when will this end? What will happen? And, you know, the Lord's met me each time I've got down to the bottom of a low and thinking I've just had enough. He meets me. And he sustains me. And he speaks to me. And this in Proverbs 3:5-8 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Wow, I could do with that right now. He says, turn away from evil. And I'm saying, well, Lord, show me what I need to do. Show me what I do that offends you. But he's saying, start at the top in. Trust me. Listen to what I'm saying. Put all your heart in that relationship. Put it all there. And don't lean on your own understanding. Do you know, you get to this point, you think, oh, am I trusting God? I've got a cupboard full of pills from the doctor. Different types of painkillers and sleeping pills and goodness knows what and creams and gels and rub it here and rub it there and do all this sort of stuff. And sometimes it doesn't make any difference at all. And a lot of you know that. And you think, oh, what am I doing? Am I trusting in God or am I trusting the pharmacy? What is it? And I've been in that place in the last week or two. Oh, perhaps I shouldn't take the pills. And then I have a really rubbish night. Don't sleep. I'm in agony and I wake up in the morning and I can't cope with work. There was one day this week I was in so much pain I was vomiting. With just so much pain. And the Lord said, just take the pill. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. don't lean to your understanding. See, I was letting the world get in my head and let my head argue with myself. Oh, am I trusting God if I'm taking pills? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? And then the enemy sees you in strife over it and starts in your ears. Oh, you see, Jesus is your healer. You must be in the wrong place before God. You know, it's going, look at your body. Look at what's going on. And you start to get a bit down and your emotions are already low and your mind's really tired already. And it's just getting hard, isn't it? And he says, don't listen to your head. Don't trust in your own understanding. You know my favorite verse. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may know what the will of God is. Romans 12. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Don't trust what you feel, what you see, how you feel. Trust him, who he is, who he says he is. And it will be refreshment to your bones and healing to your body. I'd have to say, last night, probably one of the most painful nights I'd had, and took a dose of something every couple of hours, and about 12:30 I was awake, and awake for quite a long time, and then slept for about half an hour and awake again. I was in a lot of pain, and then stopped praying, as you do at that point, out of desperation, and the Lord came to me, and I had a really good time with the Lord, as I did a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday night, and woke up still in a lot of pain when I got out of bed this morning. And I can say to you right now, standing here, I'm not in pain, because God's grace comes in. His grace comes in. I'm not saying it's healed. I'm saying I'm not in pain. I'll say what I believe to be true at the moment. And I'm not saying I won't be in pain later today. I don't know. But I'm saying his grace is sufficient for me to be able to stand here and share his word. Because he says he will be healing to my body. Because that's who he is. Whether I can stay in that place or not, I don't know. But I know I can trust him. In Jeremiah here it says 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. It's really important to get that right, actually. Get that reading right. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. Hallelujah. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield its fruit. We've sung some songs kind of around that this morning as well. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. It's really, really important little verse, that, because we sometimes talk about faith, and if we're not careful, we start having just faith in faith. We have the word faith, and we're saying, yes, I believe. What do you believe? I'm believing in a person who loves me. That's what I believe. And when I'm saying I trust, I'm not trusting in some just empty hope or just a future dream of heaven. I'm trusting in a relationship with a Father who I know and has come to love me, and I love him because he loved me first. And I really need to keep letting that relationship grab a hold of me when I'm desperate, so that the word of God and his love for me starts coming back into my heart and shoving out the rubbish that's getting in my head. If we rely on our own understanding and the wisdom of the world, we'll be lost in storms of uncertainty. We start wondering whether we're in the will of God or not. We start wondering, am I doing the right thing or not? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do the other? Instead of just saying, hey, do you know what? I'll just trust the Lord. Doesn't matter whether I do it or don't do it. Do you know? I just trust the Lord. Take a pill is right. Not take a pill is right. Doesn't matter. Just trust the Lord. Take a pill with the Lord. Take a pill with the Lord. But do it with the Lord. It's okay. Do you get what I'm saying? It's about trusting the Lord, not the action. And getting all caught up on, was the action I did right or was it wrong? Oh, Lord, am I in the right place? He says, don't worry about it. Let's just have some time together. Let's fellowship. Remember when that storm of uncertainty, Jesus is in the boat. That's what I was saying a couple of weeks back. He never got out of the boat. He's in the boat. And when we see that, we see the promises he says in his word. And we can not allow the world and the enemy to get in and mess with our head. Transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may know what the will of God is, that which is good and is acceptable and is perfect. Here's another one, Psalms 37, one we quote quite a lot, I think. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. It's interesting here, we talk about dwelling in the land. David, 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, talk about the spies who went into the land, and a couple of them saw good stuff, and 10 of them thought it was rubbish. It's too much for us. It's too big. We can't do it. They're giants. Oh, we're hopeless. It's no good. It says, trust in the Lord, do good, and dwell in the land. Are we dwelling in the land, in the promise that God has given? Or are we going, it's too much. The giant's too big. The waves of the storm are too high. Or are we seeing Jesus in the boat and saying, I can be there. I can be in this place that you've promised for me, for us. We can be in this place where the Lord says he wants to transform and change this neighborhood, where he wants to pour out his spirit of revival into this neighborhood, to sweep through it, healing families, healing broken homes, healing hearts, healing people. He wants us to be in that land. Are we saying, it's too big for us? I'm just weak. I can't do it. Cultivate faithfulness. Oh, it sounds like a bit of gardening has to go on there. A bit of work. Sticking with faithfulness. How good am I at faithfulness? Oh, sometimes I think I do all right. And then the Lord taps me on the shoulder and reminds me of something where mouth went off or something in the wrong place. And it's easy to get all down at that point until you remember the verse that says, even though we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. It's in Timothy. Cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. Here we're going into that relationship again. Do we really, 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 really delight ourselves in being in his presence? Is there a better place to be? Can you think of there being a better place to be? Because if you can think of a better place, or you're in another place, why aren't you in the place where we think the delight is? I can guarantee there are times where we find ourselves in a place other than delighting in the Lord. We get distracted by something else, and our eyes are taken off the ball. And he pulls us back with cords of love. He encourages us with words of comfort and strength. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We've had plenty of stuff around that. It doesn't mean if you desire a Ferrari you get it. It means that actually if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, what you'll desire is revival in Broadfield. Is the lost to be saved? Is the hurt to be healed? Those in need to be redeemed. That's what your desire will be. Because if you're delighting in the Lord, that's what will fill your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Do you do that every day? Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him also. Trust also in him and he will do it. Do what? Give you the desires of your heart that came out of delighting in him, which was to bring his kingdom actually. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. You will be declared holy. You will be declared righteous. You are covered by the blood of the Lamb. You are robed in righteousness. I would encourage you to do an exercise for yourselves. And we might do it. Time's okay at the moment. Might do it. But when I was awake in the night, the Lord said, so who are you? So who are you? I said, Lord, I'm your son. I'm the apple of your eye. I'm your friend. I'm beloved by you. I'm washed, justified, sanctified. I'm redeemed. I'm a joint heir. I'm in Christ in heavenly places. I'm a co-laborer with God. I have a home forever in glory. We were just singing again about that this morning. He said, who are you? I'm your son. I'm your friend. I'm the one who you loved. I'm the one who you died for. I'm the one you saw afar off, even in all of my trouble, and you came to me. Who are you, son? I'm beloved by you. And it just kept coming out of me. He kept saying, who are you? And you need to do that. You need to hear him say, who are you? And you need to let that flood out of you. Because our relationships with others and our relationships in the world will depend on how we see ourselves. What defines you as a person? Who I am as a person is just about to change dramatically. I'll go from employed, senior manager, accountant, man of importance, to redundant. That's how the world sees it. Who am I? I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm a child of the King. The favour of God is upon my life. He loves me with an everlasting love. Who am I? Not an employee of the council. Not anymore, anyway. At the end of this week. But I could let that define me. I could let build all my relationships and who I am based on that definition of who I am. And when that falters, I'm going to really struggle in my relationships with others, because I'll struggle with knowing who I am. If that defines me, if the world defines me, I've got nothing to give to anybody else when that goes wrong. If the house I live in, the car I drive defines me, it's rubbish. If it's because I stand with the redeemed, then I am whole and can never be moved. What defines you? How do you relate to others in the world? And the father said, who am I? So he said, who are you? And he said, who am I? And I said, Lord, you're the star breather. You're creator God. You're the almighty, eternal, everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, the beginning and the end, the alpha and the omega. You are faithful in all your ways. You're ever loving, ever faithful. Rock of salvation, glorious father, friend and brother, righteous judge, king and lord. You are the truth. You are the light. You are the life. You never fail. I like that. Who's my dad? He breathes the stars into being across the heavens. He holds them in place by his word. That's my dad. Do you ever, when you were a kid, get into those games at school where somebody threatens to beat you and say, yeah, well, my brother will come and get you. Well, my brother's bigger than your brother. And, you know, if you've ever been in one of those situations and you end up, well, I've got a mega missile with an anti-missile missile and all this sort of stuff. My dad owns the universe. My dad created it all. Better that one. Who is he? He's Redeemer. Praise God, he's Redeemer. We can look at broken situations around us, broken situations in our families, in our lives. He is the Redeemer. That's who he is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He is the Redeemer. Is there something broken? He is the Redeemer. He'll fix it. If we trust him, we believe him, we lay it before him, we concentrate on delighting in him, we keep that going, we keep building that relationship, he will redeem. We might not see it in the time scale we think it should happen. We might not see it happen the way we think it, the way it should happen. But he will redeem. Because he is the Redeemer. And he cannot deny himself, because that's who he is. He will be who he is. He is my counselor. He's my comforter. My helper. Helper in time of trouble. But none of you have any trouble, so you don't need a helper, so it's okay. Do you need a helper in a time of trouble? It's who he is. He's the lover of my soul. He's a rock and fortress. Wow. When the world is shifting around us, things become so uncertain. You don't know whether you'll have a pay packet next week or not, or how much petrol will cost this week or not. Here's a rock. A rock and a fortress, a shield and defender. The enemy's yattering in your ear trying to pull you down. He is my shield. He is my defender. The word of God is a powerful two-edged sword in my hand. Hallelujah. He is my burden bearer. You want him to carry your burden? Then trust him. Trust him. He's my healer. He's my provider. Go back to a song we were singing earlier. Da, 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 da. All those words coming out. He's a giver of grace. The breaker of chains. Bondage chains, I'm thinking of there. We're praying for others. We see them caught in all kinds of things. He is the one who can break the chains. He is the one who bears the burden. He is the one who, while I was in sin, yet he loved me. While I hammered nails through his hands, he said, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he's doing. When I scourged him and stripped the skin from his back with my careless thought and sin, yet he loved me. How will he not love me if I turn in repentance to him and say, Father, forgive me. Fill my life with who you are and make me to be like you. Do you think that's a prayer he won't answer? Of course he wants to answer it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, right now in you I am. And you just let the Holy Spirit bring that forth and let it pour forth out of who you are. Last night I was blessed by the Lord doing that with me and seeing who he was for me. Does it mean I'm instantly healed of what's going on? I don't think so necessarily, but he's touched me with his grace this morning. Because he wants me to learn still. He wants me to be dependent on him. He doesn't want me trusting in my own strength. He wants me to recognize my weakness so that I can recognize his strength. He will not fail. He cannot fail. It's who he is. And we need to trust in him. I'm really grateful, say, for what Caroline's put on the back of the newsflash, an encouragement of trusting in God. If we're ever going to hope to share love with others, to let our love increase, we're only going to do it if we bring ourselves into this relationship where we abandon ourselves recklessly to Father God in heaven. And I say that as I mean it. Abandon ourselves recklessly to his love. To say, do you know what? I thought I could fix this. I thought I could do this. I thought I could handle this. I thought. Lean not to your own understanding. Abandon yourself to the Father. He's made the way for you to do it. He's opened the door. He's made the path one you can walk. It's not impossible. All things are possible with God. He's made it possible. It's incredible. And every day, inch by inch, moment by moment, I feel his grace come upon me. There's moments where, yes, I'm fed up. I want to cry because I hurt so much. I'm so tired I can't concentrate. But he's still God. So I'm not saying I don't have that and those aren't real to me and those things don't pull me down. But he's still God. Nothing can change that for me. That's who he is. And he will not fail me. And I'm going to keep confessing that and saying who he says he is true. What he says he will do, he will do. What he says of me is what I am. And I am beloved. I'm a child of the King. I have grace upon my life. I have his favour and his love in me every moment of every day. He has promised he will never ever leave me or forsake me. He has filled me with his spirit. He's put his word in my mouth. That's who I am. Can I share that with others? That's what I'm trying to do now. And then in our last slide here, this is where we finish. Paul writes this in Ephesians 3. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family, relationships, in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant to you, and this is to you, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Comma. Take a breath. Let that sink in for a moment. He would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit. That's what he's speaking over you right now. That's what he's speaking over you right now. That you will be strengthened from his riches in glory by his spirit in your inner man. So it's going to start in your soul, in your spirit. That's where it's going to start. It's not going to start by my aches and pains disappearing. It's going to start in my inner man. That's where he's meeting me. That's where he's coming in. That I'll be rooted and grounded in love so that I can comprehend the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Hang on, that's a kind of one of those weird statements, isn't it? It's a paradox almost. That I may understand what surpasses knowledge. The greatness of God's love is so great that knowledge cannot contain it, but he can let our heart and our spirit and our inner being understand it. How incredible is that? That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Sounds like it's just being silly, doesn't it, really? Oh, come on. We're just feeble little people in a feeble little place in a little old town in Nowheresville. And we're going to be filled up with the fullness of God. He doesn't lie. He's made it possible. Now, so that's Paul's prayer. That we're going to be filled up with the fullness of God. We're going to understand the surpassing love that is in Christ Jesus. We're going to be filled in the inner man with his glory and strength by the power of his spirit. That's Paul's prayer. Then he says this, now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. So he's just prayed an almighty prayer that we would be transformed and changed by the fullness of God. And he says, now to God who can do more than that, let him bring glory in the church. When that glory lights upon us, we're not going to have a problem loving one another and showing the love to those around us. But we need to trust, put our relationship into that right place, go with reckless abandon into the Father's arms. Can you sense that? Can you just sense where you might be hanging on, clawing in somewhere? I don't want to let go of this. I want to hang on to this bit of the world. I want to hang on to this bit of what I think is sanity in my mind. I want to hang on to this. Oh, I'm quite happy being miserable and in pain, actually. I'm hanging on to that instead of, now I'm going to let it go. Going reckless abandon to the Father. And whatever happens to your physical circumstance, to your body, and in your mind, in your inner man, he's going to come in and he's going to strengthen you and fill you with his spirit and let the fullness of God and Christ and his love come and overflow you. So that his glory can be seen in the church. That's what he wants for us. And I know there are plenty of us who are struggling with illnesses, with pains, with difficult circumstances in our families, with hurts, with disappointments. They're real. They're real. It's a lie to say they're not. But my God is greater. But God. But God. Whatever you go to him, you end up with, but God. Look at who he is. Look at who he is. Trust in him. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in God. I can't give you a guarantee that everything's just going to come right tomorrow. I wish I could. I'd love it to be right for everybody tomorrow. I'd love it all to go away. I'd love our families to be healed, to be redeemed, to be saved, for all our pains and aches to go. But we sang a song just a little while ago that we have a hope that is steadfast, it is certain. We will meet him and all this will go. And he is fitting us for that day. He's preparing us. He's working on us so that we will get the best out of that time that we could ever imagine. So I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's glib. I'm not saying you just say a few magic words and it all goes away. But he's working in our hearts to fit us to be a people through whom he will show his glory. And his glory will bring forth the power of his Spirit in our lives. That this neighborhood, this place in where we live, will know the love of God and his redeeming power and his ability to save. He's Savior. He's Friend. He's Redeemer. He's your Lover. He's your Comforter. He's your Strength. He's your Shield and Defender, your Shield and Buckler. He's your Provider. He's a Giver of Grace. Grace upon grace. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Let's pray. Just let the Lord speak to you. If you want to do business with God right now, just asking the Lord to come and touch some area of your life. If you need to be reminded of who God is, ask him to touch you with the Holy Spirit, to speak into your life who you are before him, who he is for you. Hear his words of love. Hear him say, I love you, I'm pleased with you. You're after my own heart. You're the apple of my eye. Come to me, all you who are weary, and find rest for your soul. Come to me, you who are heavily burdened. I'll be your burden bearer. Come to me, you who are hurt, because I am your healer. He wants to breathe his Spirit across us this morning. He wants us to know a new touch of intimacy from him, where we can just allow ourselves to fall into his arms, fall into his love, and just believe it. Just trust that love that took him to the cross. Trust that love. Trust that love. He spread his arms to make us acceptable into the kingdom. He will not fail. He cannot fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let your grace flow, Lord. Right now, let your grace flow. Speak into every heart, Lord. Words of love and encouragement, Lord. Let us not go from this place without being built up in our inner man. Thank you, Lord. Come and be glorified in this your church. Come and show this neighborhood who you are. Come and reveal yourself to us, that we would raise up, stand strong in you. We need you, Lord. We need you. We are weak, but in our weakness your strength is made manifest. In our weakness, your grace is abundant. In you we glory. In you we trust. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I encourage you to encourage one another with words of love. Pray for one another. If you need prayer, ask for prayer. Think on who he is for you today.